The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now he did not know what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the verses leading up to today's text, Jesus asked his disciples who they said he was. Peter had answered that he was the Christ of God. Jesus then made the first prediction of his passion. He said, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then he said to all, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The 12 couldn't help but be shocked and confused by what Jesus said concerning what would happen to him and what following him entailed for them. They didn't want to believe him, but there was no mistaking Jesus' words. He had spoken plainly and clearly. The thoughts and conversations of the disciples must have focused on them in the days that followed. The next thing the evangelists record, however, takes place about a week after Jesus' prediction of his death and his call to cross-bearing. Jesus had taken the inner circle of his disciples, Peter, John, and James, up on a high mountain to pray. Both the location and the purpose of the trip anticipated the importance of what followed. As you read through the Gospels, you don't have to be paying too much attention to notice that Jesus often separated himself from the crowds, as well as from his disciples, in order to spend time in prayer. Often he did this when he was facing temptation. For instance, because the crowds wanted to come and make him king, or because the cup he would need to drink in order to fulfill the Father's will. The high mountain calls to mind the place where a frightened Elijah heard the Lord speak to him in a still, small voice, or the place where the Lord called and commissioned Moses and later met with him and gave him the tablets of the law. Mountaintops, then, are a location where God meets his servants, reveals to them his glory, and speaks of his work. These two aspects come together in our text. As he was praying, Jesus' appearance was transformed. In the Old Testament, when the Lord had spoken with Moses, Moses' face glowed with the reflected glory of the Lord. In our text, things are different. The shining of Jesus was from within. On the mountain, the veil of his humility was lifted for a time. His divine glory was revealed to his disciples that they could see it. This one who would be rejected and killed, who would die on a cross, was indeed the Lord's chosen one, the Christ of God. But even more was revealed to Peter, John, and James. For suddenly they saw two other men appear in glory, Moses and Elijah. These two were among the greatest prophets of the Lord ever. It was through Moses that God had delivered his teaching and established his covenant with the children of Israel. Among the prophets, Moses was unique, one, as we heard, whom the Lord knew face to face. Through Elijah, God had called Israel to repentance in the days of Ahaz. And then when he had finished his work, Elijah had been transported alive into heaven in a fiery chariot sent by the Lord. And these two men, who had faithfully served the Lord in great hardship and difficulty, spoke with Jesus on the mountaintop. Spoke with him, we hear, about his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. His departure. The Greek word Luke uses here is exodon, from which we get our English word Exodus. Etymologically, the Greek word exodus means a road out. In this context, then, it could simply be a fanciful way of referring to Jesus' death. That hardly seems likely, though. Ever since the days of Moses, God's people couldn't hear the word exodus without remembering the greatest deliverance ever, the Lord's gracious rescue of a mob of slaves, and his forming of them as a new nation, as his own people. The simple word Exodus calls to mind all the details, the plagues, the Passover, escaping through the Red Sea as on dry ground, the provision of manna and quail, water from the rock, and all the rest. Every amazing detail which made up the wondrous saving act of God which he had promised and then accomplished for his people of old. It makes sense that Moses and Elijah, these great prophets of the Old Testament, would be interested in talking with Jesus about a new and greater exodus, the deliverance which he had come to bring. After all, the entireties of their ministries had pointed forward to this event. As St. Peter would later write, concerning this salvation, that is, concerning the salvation of our souls won by Jesus. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person and time, the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about the very thing which had consumed the curiosity of every one of the prophets, the promises of God, which Jesus was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. The exodus he would lead out of slavery to sin and death, which had burdened every human being since Adam and Eve first ate of the forbidden fruit. Thus, even more glorious than the divine magnificence of Christ's appearance that was revealed on the mountain as he spoke with Moses and Elijah in glory, was the subject of their conversation, the fulfillment of God's greatest promise, the salvation of your soul. Salvation which Jesus was about to bring to fulfillment by his suffering, death, and resurrection. That is, his departure, his saving exodus. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have seen this sight and to have heard this marvelous conversation? Indeed. But I'm afraid that you and I would have shared the lack of comprehension revealed by St. Peter. Even the glory of the resurrection isn't enough to take away the scandal of the cross. Even with the full knowledge of what Jesus has accomplished by his exodus, the portrayal of Jesus hanging on a cross, dying as the Lamb of God, in order to take away the sin of the world, can be uncomfortable to see. We'd much rather, like Peter, have a Jesus who dwells in glory than one whose way includes the cross. Especially so, since he calls you and me to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. But the only tent in which Jesus would dwell was the tent prepared for him by his Father, the body of a man, the form of a servant. And he tented among us in bodily form for one reason only, so that he could be the sacrifice for our sin, our propitiation with God, the Lamb of God who dies to take away your sin and the sin of every sinner ever. Some 15 verses after our text, Luke writes that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. That was the place he would fulfill his Father's will. That was the place he would complete his mission. That was the place he would accomplish his exodus in order to free you from Satan's power and deliver you from slavery to sin and death. It's tempting to think that Jesus could have avoided the cross, to think that he could somehow have accomplished his work without dying. But that wasn't possible. His place wasn't on the mountain. The greatest revelation of his glory wasn't the shining brightness of his face on the mountain, but rather his incredible love in the darkness of Golgotha. His dying, forsaken by his Father on account of your sin, so that you could be with him forever in paradise. As Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes
and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And there on the top of the mountain, after revealing the divine glory of his Son before their eyes, and making clear the importance of his departure, his exodus in Jerusalem, the Father underlined it all by overshadowing the disciples in a cloud and saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Listen to him. How these words must have echoed in their minds. Listen to him. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected and killed and on the third day be raised. Jesus, the beloved Son of the Father, was going up to Jerusalem for his great exodus. There, though he had no sin of his own, he would be treated as a despicable evildoer, would become sin for us, would become sin for you, in order that you might be delivered, saved, redeemed, in order that the righteousness of God might be yours. Listen to him. Pay attention to him. Believe what he says. He is the chosen one, the redeemer of the world, the Holy One of God. He has the words of eternal life. His words proclaim, "I forgive you all your sins. This is my body given for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Listen to him, for through his words, he is giving you his gifts, forgiveness, life, salvation. God grant you then to listen to him, especially in the coming holy season of Lent, which holds up before us the events of Jesus' exodus, the exodus by which he delivered you from slavery to sin, death, and Satan, the exodus by which he will finally bring you and all who listen and believe in him into the promised land of heaven. Listen to him and thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen.